All right, I would like to call to order the September 17th, 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission meeting. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us this evening via Zoom. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure that the community's ability to participate. At this time, I would like to do a roll call. Irina, can you please do a roll call of the commissioners?
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Here.
Chair Kufari?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
Thank you. I would like to make some welcome remarks, just some call to orders here. And again, I would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Clearly, tonight's meeting is going to be a bit different than our regular in-person meetings. We still maintain the regular order of business, so the meeting format will remain unchanged. In order to participate, one must be logged on or linked into the Zoom directly by computer or telephone. The link can be found on the town's website under Meetings and Agendas, Stormwater Utility. Click on the agenda link. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick overview on how to participate. Everyone's microphone, except for the chair and the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure a smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time, and if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments, we will do our best to let everyone know when it is appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the commission on any agenda item or during the call to the audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it is appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those of you who are on the Zoom platform, find the icon and hover your cursor over the bottom of it. And this will open a dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name, select your name, click raise hand. For those of you who are on the phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced. And after that, I will announce your name to make comments. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Please review the meeting agenda ahead of time so you know which item you would like to speak on. And please make sure you are also muted on your own personal device. As with all other Stormwater Utility Commission meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. The timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you please respect the 3-minute limit. All right. So I would like to move on to the first item, call to the audience. At this time, anyone in the audience is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. I do see that we have one audience member who would like to speak.
There.
Unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Jen.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I would like it looks like you're going to not have a October meeting, but in the November meeting, if you could by then have enough info on the new addition that's going on to the west of Highlands.
Mr. Coffey, I believe, is referring to the Naranja Trails development lying just north of the Highland Mobile Home Park. Just for informational purposes, there is a public meeting, I believe, on September 22nd next week.
Yes.
So certainly by November, Mr. Coffey will have more information, would be more than happy to present that as an agenda item. We will take
Thank
that
you.
Under advisement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak at this time? And Irina, have you received any blue speaker cards from anyone over the week asking to make comments?
No blue speaker cards.
All right. I would like to move on to council liaison comments and turn it over to council member Bill Rodman for his comments. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, we've, as you know, we were off of, we didn't have any meetings in August, although we are now, the last two meetings have been 5 hours in length, so we are making up for lost time. But they are usually, they're mostly issues that are still pending working for, so there's no real update on any decisions. The only one that we looked at last night, really, was the year-end, unaudited year-end statement that ended at the end of June. And it may or may not be a surprise to anybody, but we did very well last year in spite of the pandemic. We're told it's mostly because the first half of the year was very much ahead of budget. And then the fact that we get sales tax from online sales, and there were a lot of online sales at the Home Depot and Best Buy and of course, the food stores in the parts where we get sales tax. So it more than made up for what might have been lost in the restaurants and some of the places that weren't able to keep up. So that's a good thing. That puts us, we're in good shape for the, this is he cheering for that, Mr. Chair? Was your son? Good. Yeah. So we're in good shape going into this year. One of the things that we talked again a lot last night is that, you know, we had talked about when we passed the budget that we'd asked our staff to forego raises, et cetera, because we didn't know what was going to happen, and that we would come back to it in the fall when we see what's happened. So again, we mentioned last night that we really want to see that happen, to go back in and make sure that we stay competitive and be fair to our employees. We thanked them again last night because of the fact of what the amazing work that the town staff has done under some very, very difficult and absolutely unprecedented circumstances. So that's where we stand. Of anything that I think that's of any real import to all of us in this call. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Robin, for those updates. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Spiker for any for a director's report.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. As Council Member Rodman alluded to, 2020's brought a significant amount of change to the stormwater utility and the town. We've been working on updates and overhauls to the Oro Valley Drainage Criteria Manual, which was last modified in 2010, so that's been 10 years. Outreach and presentations will be undertaken later this fall, with finalization and implementation targeted for the end of the calendar year. So that's been a pretty big change in undertaking for us. The Arizona Construction General Permit was updated by ADEQ this summer. That's the first time that has been updated since 2013. So we've been communicating with the construction community all summer long to try to stay in compliance with the new changes. This year also brought a change to the Waters of the United States rule by the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. That affects federally regulated water courses and its associated water quality regulations. So we're dealing with those changes. Subsequently, the state ADEQ department is looking at a Waters of Arizona to supplement the outgoing Waters of the U.S. change. All the parties are still in limbo right now. We're all waiting for additional guidance from the Army Corps of Engineers and ADEQ on how to proceed. So we're holding status quo for right now, but anticipating changes coming up in the future. In addition to that, we've been responding to the wildfires and post-fire flooding issues. And as Council Member Rodman alluded to, we've been dealing with the impacts from COVID-19. So even with all that going on, we've had some of our best outreach efforts take place during this time. Following the lead of the town manager, Mary Jacobs, we're pushing out communications and thanks. I wanted to recognize our team's efforts, given the strenuous circumstances. Urena Hind, Jane Hutchins, John Lynch, Justin Turner, and Scott Bennett, they've all done a tremendous job this year. We've got website visits are up, floodplain information requests are up, flood insurance and monsoon preparedness inquiries have gone up. Our sandbag program's given out about 3 times the amount of bags this year as last. And we've got more to come. We're still working on a GIS mapping application. Scott Bennett is wrapping up a web portal to provide floodplain mapping information to the public. We're hoping to use that GIS application to better serve our citizens. And Urena Hines working on modifying our invoices. We're trying to take advantage of an opportunity to continue to push our messaging out. And she was also really instrumental in editing and updating the stormwater web pages. So she's been tremendous this year. So again, I just wanted to say thanks to the team and really share with you guys how blessed I am to have such a great team working with me. So again, just wanted to recognize some of their efforts in that update.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Moving on to item number one, review and approval of the July 16th, 2020 meeting minutes. Commissioners, if you have reviewed them, is there a motion to accept or modify?
If there are no comments or additions, I move for approval of the minutes.
Second.
All of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Moving on to item number two, recognition of outgoing Stormwater Utility Commission Council Liaison, Mr. Bill Rodman. Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Chairman, Commission members. As Council Member Rodman's terms expiring here in November, we wanted to recognize his service to the town and the community. Since 2007, Bill and his wife Judy have called Oro Valley home, and they quickly recognized the willingness of the community to engage the town with assistance, and Bill was eager to do his part. He brings experience as a chief counsel and legislative liaison, coupled with leadership at the School Board of Education and Chamber of Commerce back in Illinois. So Councilmember Rodman was well-suited to serve the town, first on the Planning and Zoning Commission and followed up with the last 3+ years of serving on the town council. We want to recognize and thank Bill for his time and effort in serving Oro Valley and hope his experience and energy is made available to us in the future. As a token of our appreciation, we sent up a stormwater rain gauge to town hall for him in the hopes that he remembers our group and maybe blesses us with some actual rain this year. So again, thank you, Bill, for all your efforts. We really appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for the recognition. This has been something that I've enjoyed every minute of, all the way from the P&Z through council and getting to know you guys. I wish it had been longer, but with the pandemic and et cetera, we didn't have as many. But thank you for the recognition, and I will stay involved in the town. My wife and I live here, whether I'm on the council or not, and feel that it's a wonderful town, and we want to continue to do our part to keep it that way and to support you and the staff as well as you move forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We really appreciate all you've done, Bill.
Yes, thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you.
And when the Wildcats start up again, we hope to see you in the stands.
I'll be there. I guess. I'm not sure where my seat will be, but I'll be there.
All right. Moving on to item number three, discussion of meetings and events. Mr. Spiker, turn it over to you.
Yes, thank you, Chair Kafari. As attached to the agenda, you guys can see our calendar of events upcoming. I won't bother you with reading through all of those, but we'll highlight a few things here. In September, Mayor Joe Winfield proclaimed National Preparedness Month in the town of Oro Valley. That's sponsored by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. National Preparedness Month is a nationwide effort to raise awareness about the importance of emergency preparedness. This year's theme is Disasters Don't Wait, Make a Plan Today, and challenges everybody to take actions to prepare now and throughout the year. The Oro Valley Community Emergency Response Team, the CERT, has been busy pushing out communications on social media and print media to bring the item to the public's attention. So please pay attention to those media messages throughout the month. I'd also like to point you guys out to the ADEQ Small MS4 Annual Report. That's due at the end of September. A draft copy was attached to the agenda, and we're encouraging all the commissioners to please review that draft and provide feedback by the end of next week. It's not a tremendous amount of time, but in comparison to last year's report, it's fairly similar. So if you all have some time, we'd really appreciate some feedback on that draft report. And again, looking for some feedback by the end of next week, if you're able to provide that to us. And the rest is fairly self-explanatory there on the agenda. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Moving on, I'd like to move to agenda item number 5, discussion of annual stormwater utility rate analysis and approval of a no rate adjustment scenario recommendation to mayor and council.
Chair Kafari, can I make a recommendation we cover item number 4?
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped that.
Yeah. That's okay. That apparently the monsoon season has skipped the Bighorn Fire as well.
I'm done with Bighorn. All right. moving on to agenda item number 4, discussion of Bighorn Fire and its impacts.
Thank you, Chair Kafari. Again, we don't have a lot of change since our last meeting. It really hasn't rained much in town or on the mountain. The fire obviously was put out, and the soil conditions have been assessed by the Forest Service. Hydrologic and hydraulic models have been run to identify potential flooding areas, and that was done by our partners at Pima County Regional Flood Control District. The models led to some enhanced outreach efforts on the part of the town and the county, as well as some continued channel maintenance efforts in preparation for increased runoff. The lack of monsoon rains allowed Oro Valley and our partners some additional time to prepare and coordinate responses should they be needed. But right now, what we're looking at is continued monitoring of the burn scar area and ongoing for probably the next couple of years to assess soil conditions and flooding potential. So we've got our eyeballs on that area, but we really haven't seen too much rainfall to trigger any action as of yet. So we're really in a holding and monitoring pattern for right now.
Any questions from the other commissioners? Hearing none, moving on to agenda item number 5, discussion of annual stormwater utility rate analysis and approval of a no rate adjustment scenario recommendation to mayor and council. Mr. Spiker, Ms. Ramsey, I turn it over to you.
Before I turn this over to Amy, I want to remind the commissioners we will have a motion to approve or deny the no rate adjustment here post Amy Ramsey's presentation. We will be doing a roll call vote to make sure we capture everybody's individual vote. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the Public Works Assistant Director, Amy Ramsey.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Chair Ari. I'm just realizing that I practiced this a couple times where I controlled the screen, and now I think Justin's going to control the screen. So I guess I will have to ask him when to flip the pages.
Right. Yes, you will.
So it's going to be a little bit different than I practiced, but that's fine. So some of the items, it looks like we started with the attachment. This is the attachment you'll find actually in the 2021 budget. Prepared by our wonderful Wendy Gomez, just shows you an overview of the whole entire fund. Next page, please. This is just a rundown of where we are with our revenues by month, and ever since we have stopped projecting a 3% increase just across the board, and thanks to Scott and again Urena's efforts and exactness of the ERUs, our projection and our total budgets are pretty close to what we project annually. Last year we projected our budget was $1.42 million and we actually collected $1.442 million. So we're right on track. There's nothing scary here. The nice thing about the utility commission and the rate is, regardless of anything happening, this is a pretty solid number. I'm going to have Justin move forward to the presentation, and we'll come back to the five-year projection. So next slide, please. So here we are again, and I just realized that this is actually the sixth year in a row we are doing a rate review, which is wonderful. Justin, if you'll go to the next slide. Why do we do it? Well, we do it because it's town code. There's two things that the town code requires of us, and that's an annual review, as well as that our revenues that we do collect must pay for the stormwater management program, operations, maintenance, and capital improvements, which brings us here today. Next slide, please. So the Stormwater Commission, and just a little brief history, we do this every year, was established in 2001. The utility was established to address both EPA and environmental quality regulations. We have three separate permits that we fall under. They're listed here. I'm not going to read them. Our current rate is $4.50. We and has been so for the last several couple of years. Next slide, please. ERU, always want to define equivalent residential units. For residents, that's roof areas, concrete walks and sidewalks, concrete drives. It includes pools, so anything that the water doesn't go through is counted. Commercial based prices is all off of 4,000 square feet. That was a change that went with the increase in rate. We reduced the square footage to 4,000. Next slide.
Is there a, this is appropriate time for a question?
Sure.
With some of the vacancies in the commercial property area, is the rate for the entire complex going to remain the same, or is there going to be some adjustment because of the reduced usage?
Councilmember Hawkinson, the reduced usage is just who's not, that there's not a current person in the facility. The property owner is still required to pay stormwater fees.
Okay. Well, that's the way it was always. I just was curious whether there was any change of heart.
Not at this time, and we would be unable to have a change of heart without going to council. We cannot change the rate or the structure.
Yeah, without a public hearing.
So moving ahead, some of the stormwater analysis assumptions. The inflationary rate we used is 2.5% annually to match that which finance put in our current fiscal year budget. The presentation has a slight error in it. When we were projecting this out originally and built this, we were trying to obtain a part-time student intern as well, which did not pan out, as well as increases. Those have since been removed. And we have, I thought we updated the slide, but apparently it did not get in the presentation. It assumes the use this year is the first time we will be using our vehicle cash reserve. We're buying, we have a replacement vehicle for our inspector, and we will be using $38,000 of our cash reserve. Capital improvement projects are evaluated annually. One of the things I take great pride in this year that we have started to do, some of you are probably well aware of our successful roadway projects, planning in Jose's group in our engineering division. And their motto has always been to take the year to collect data, do surveys, get the engineering designs done, and then budget for the actual construction the following year. So this year's budget and the way we're going to do so in the future is we'll do the planning, we'll do the design phase 1 year, and when we build the budget for council to look at, they'll actually physically see projects. So when we talk about the five-year projections, you'll see that there's no hard projects in that budget. There's a couple of hard planning projects in there. Mudder's Wash evaluation, Sierra Wash evaluation are both in our current budget, but not the build or the construction itself. Next slide. Some of the policy requirements of our rate analysis as we look through is that we have to maintain a cash reserve of 15%. That's up and above whatever we have in the reserves for vehicle and equipment repairs. And again, we have to have adequate revenue to fund our stormwater platform and management. Just some of the activities, you may or may not be aware that we perform all the implementation of the MS4, ADEQ, EPA requirements are covered. That's the top goal. That's what we were built to do. Some of the other steps that we go out there in conjunction with and in partnership with our ops crew, we do drainage channels and street shouldering of vegetation. We've had a little slight decrease in our veg management this year. As some of you may be aware, we lost our two ADC crews to COVID. So our veg management has taken a little bit of a hit. Storm cleanup is done through these funds. Sweeping is done through these funds. All our low water crossings are all generated because of this funding. Next slide. So getting down to what we have to evaluate, the fee, going back to the five-year projection you got in there. If you look at the five-year projection, the fee we have currently in place is sufficient to meet all our current needs. In this year's budget, the five-year projection, you will see a new line item in there that the town manager has allowed us to budget. There's two major changes. Is we took out any assumption that we will receive any kind of contribution or grant funds. If we do receive the grant funds, we'll modify the budget. But until they become real, you won't see them in here. The town manager has allowed us to budget contingency. So there's over $500,000 in contingency that is available to us should we, one of the designs come in that we want to get started or another issue arise that we needs to take precedence. So we are ready to roll out and remediate anything we find because of the way the budget's structured. Strong support is still there from Pima County Flood Control District. They've been lock in step with us whenever we've needed any additional work or cleanup done. I believe they did a cleanup for us this year at the last minute. John, was Logan's Crossing this year or last year?
Last year, I believe. So Pima County, this is John Spiker. Pima County has cleared out gravel pit wash for us. They've done some cleanups in the CDO as well as the Rooney Wash area, mostly in preparation for potential flooding from the Bighorn Fire, but also as part of just some general support for our operations needs.
So this year, like the past year, our group is not recommending any type of service fee or changes. Next slide. This is just an overview of a chart very similar to one of the ones you'll see in again, Wendy, that shows our required violets in gold. We never once dipped below that line. Our cash reserves are very healthy. Our expenditures look fine. You see it peak only in 2023, because we're hoping by that time we'll have some monies and we can probably expend it on one of the three Sierra Wash projects or the Mudder's Wash project. So based on our five-year projection and our current rate, it's sufficient to meet all our needs, both maintenance and capital. We're hoping to get some of the studies done, and by this time next year, we will have hopefully a fully fleshed five-year CIP program for you with some projects that John and his group are working for you to develop. As I mentioned, the data collections, the surveying, all the preliminary engineering is happening now. So the schedule would be, right now we're reviewing the budget presentation. We're doing that now. We canceled the October stormwater utility field trip. We'll wait until we get the new liaison on. We'll wait until we have a little COVID stops, until we're all comfortable going back out. With your recommendation and approval of the no rate scenario, we'll blend this into our council memorandum on the budget, with tentative budget scheduled for June of next year. And with that, if anybody has any questions, I'm glad to field them.
I do have a question. You mentioned the part-time student. I know it's not really part of the rate analysis. I would like to hopefully see you guys kind of bring that back in some facet or another. That's definitely important to get the experience for those kids. That's how I started my journey, was just an internship. So hopefully you guys can kind of figure that out and try to bring them back in if funds allow.
We will ask again, Commissioner Kafari, we will ask again this year. I have a feeling that Mary will also very well support that. We think it'd be great experience learning from a wonderful utility, and their main, and it will help us get further along in our mapping and our GIS. There's so much to do, and we've only got Scott, so we will definitely be bringing that back.
Yeah. And for some more background on that, we are targeting a master's level student at the GIS department over at the University of Arizona, both in hopes, as Chair Kafari had mentioned, in providing some experience for some of the students, but also getting someone that has experience in what we need. And as Amy mentioned, we've got a tremendous need on the GIS front right now. So we're soliciting that in the hopes that we are able to secure that position next year.
Chairman?
I've got a question.
I think it was Joan first and then Richard.
I'll let Commissioner Hawkinson ask his question.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned earlier about changes in some of the programs, such as the Arizona General Permit, and also the way waters of the U.S. may be considered, given changes, I guess, in the federal laws. Is there any chance at all that those will have an impact in terms of a reduction in what might be required from the MS4 program in the future?
Commissioner Hawkinson, this is John Spiker. There is significant potential to affect the MS4 program at the state and federal levels. Locally, we still do have our floodplain management ordinance, which we are beholden to, but some of the underlying state and federal regulations tied to that can change what our requirements are. As I mentioned in the director's report, not only is the town of Oro Valley in a holding pattern, the county, the city of Tucson, Marana, the state even, we are awaiting guidance to understand how these new changes will impact us, and we'll have to adjust accordingly. But as of right now, we're holding status quo. There's always a potential for a new administration to come online and unwind those changes. So until we get clear guidance from the Army Corps of Engineers and ADEQ, we are not anticipating any changes now, but are eagerly awaiting those. So as soon as we hear Commissioner Hawkinson of what those changes may be, we'll certainly keep you guys abreast of what that is.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Brown.
If no one has any other questions, I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, you would need to read the motion as it is written.
I move to approve the status quo base rate for the Stormwater Utility Commission for 2020-2021.
Second.
All right. Hearing a motion in a second. Irina, can I have a roll call vote on the item?
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Aye.
Chair Kufari?
Aye.
Let the record show we have 4 yeses and 0 noes.
All right, thank you, Amy and John, for your presentation and the responses on that item. Moving on to agenda item number 6, discussion of Arizona Department of Water Resources Community Assistant Visit Audit. Mr. Spiker?
Thank you, Chair Kufari and Commissioners. I'd like to turn this over to our stormwater engineer, Justin Turner, to present. Justin, take it away.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Kufari. Yes, this last July, the Arizona Department of Water Quality visited our community to conduct a community assistance visit. And these are as an audit that takes place roughly once every 5 years. And they're the purpose is to see whether or not we are administering the floodplain management program in compliance with the Code of Federal Regulations 44 CFR 60.3D. And that basically requires our community to make sure that new land development, new projects have structures that are substantially safe from flooding. And that's the wording in the CFR. Is new land development substantially safe from flooding? And during the visit, they asked us to describe or to present our floodplain management ordinance that was updated in 2017 as a follow-up of a previous audit where they noted some deficiencies. We've updated our ordinance. It's still in reasonably good shape. They also wanted to know how we determined whether properties were reasonably safe. Did we have written standard operating procedures? And if so, what described to them how we identified properties that were flood prone and what information we requested be provided and how we went through the process of making that determination. And then they went on to say, well, that's fine, but then how do you keep record of that? One of the additional requirements is, you know, show us what are your records? And we were we quickly showed them our GIS capabilities that Scott Bennett, our GIS analyst, has put together, and also our Munis permit tracking software that David Law is the division manager in Community of Economic Development has put together with his staff. So we were able to show them the mechanics of how we keep track of things. What permits are issued, and are there floodplain use permits associated with that activity? And we were able to quickly show them the number of floodplain permits that we'd issued for each of the last 5 years, and the conditions and so forth. So we were well prepared to show them our capabilities. Then they also wanted to know how we let the general public know about the flood prone properties of their homes and where they lived. And we showed them some new GIS mapping that we have about to go online. And perhaps one of the next meetings we have, we can show you that capability. But it's a web-based software that we put an address in, and whether or not the property is in a FEMA floodplain, a locally administered floodplain, or a platted floodplain, or even just a water course with a no name, but it shows to go through a property, that information shows up, and we were able to demonstrate this capability to Brian Costin and Rebecca Peterson from the state. And then lastly, what else did we do? John, did we do anything else with those folks?
I don't think so. I think that was about it, Justin.
That was about it. The interview lasted about 3 to 3.5 hours. And at the end of the session, we were congratulated on our program. Weeks later, they sent an email reiterating the success of our program. And then as expected, they told us they were going to go through our ordinance and note any changes that we should consider the next time we update it. None of the recommendations that they made with regard to our ordinance were pressing, but they thought that some of the wording could be improved. But after all, they had just gone through it in 2017, so I'd be surprised if they found anything new, because the state ordinance, the model ordinance, hasn't changed either. So it would just be new eyes on the document. In fact, it was Brian Costin who reviewed it in 2017, and he did it again. Anyway, we were pleased with the outcome of the audit, and we're confident in our ability to maintain our floodplain management program. It was reassuring to know that we were on top of things, and we have a very, very good program. And to hear it from the state was gratifying. And anyway, that's all I have to say about that meeting. It was rewarding. It took some preparation, and we followed through, and it turned out just fine.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Commissioners, are there any questions for staff? All right, hearing none. Moving on to agenda item number 7, discussion of Town of Oro Valley's 2020 MS4 Annual Report and Discharge Monitoring Report. Mr. Stryker.
Thank you, Chair Kafari and commissioners. Changing gears from ADWR back to ADEQ, lots of acronyms, guys. Each year, we're tasked with reporting to ADQ on the town's progress and success of the stormwater management program. The town's required to report on the 6 minimum control measures as identified by ADEQ. Again, attached is the draft report. And again, we're not going to go through each and every line item, but we do encourage the commissioners to give this a review. And please provide feedback by September 25th. But again, the 6 minimum controls measures identified by ADEQ: public education, public involvement and participation, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site stormwater runoff control, post-construction stormwater management, pollution prevention, and good housekeeping for municipal operations. The town's 2019-2020 report, due to ADEQ by the 30th of September, shows our program to be in compliance with the permit requirements. A few highlights through here. I believe this is a 43-page document, so I'll direct you to a few of the page numbers here so you can peruse later at your leisure. BMP, which stands for Best Management Practices, yet another acronym. 1.7 stormwater content on the town's webpage. That's page 4 of the draft report. The town undertook an overhaul of our webpages this year. Stormwater took advantage of the opportunity to refresh our messaging and drive new folks to the website. We saw roughly a 120% increase in web traffic to the stormwater utility page versus the previous year's reporting. So obviously we had many more eyeballs tuning into our web pages. BMP 3.5, which is on page 17 of the draft report, that's the municipal employee training. Last October, which would have been October 2019, the Stormwater Utility conducted an internal IDDE illicit discharge detection and elimination training to educate and reinforce our requirements to our town staff. We had 17 staff members in attendance for that training session, and we intend to hold another training session this fall for compliance for next year's reporting cycle. BMP 3.3, the identification and mapping of our MS4, that's on page 20 of the draft report. The process of updating the MS4, yet again another acronym. The MS4 assets began in 2016 to convert them into a digital database. This will allow the stormwater utility to more efficiently track inspections and conditions of our assets to meet the minimum 20% inspection rate of all private and public assets in any given year. This past reporting year, the stormwater utility was able to achieve nearly 60% inspection rate for known assets. So we've been knocking it out of the park, again, due to our tremendous staff efforts here. BMP 3.7, IDD procedures, it's on page 23. We look at the minimum control measure one under this BMP, illicit discharge detection and elimination incidents. We only had 5 incidents reported to the town last year, and 4 of those required enforcement. Of those issues, all 4 related to swimming pool discharges. So we know that's an ongoing issue and have bumped up our outreach efforts toward that. Finally, I want to bring your attention to BMP 4.1, pre-construction site plan review. It's on page 30 of the draft report. In looking at minimum control measure number 4, construction activity, stormwater runoff control, complaints and inspections. The town had 29 active construction sites during the 1920 reporting period. Of those, only 4 sites required reinspection and or enforcement measures. So we've been successful in reaching out to the contractors ahead of time during our pre-construction efforts to alert them of what they're responsible for and what we're out there to inspect. So again, mainly due to our outreach efforts before we break ground on construction sites, we've been able to achieve a pretty successful operation and compliance with our MS4. So those are just some of the highlights. And again, I encourage you to go through this information. Some of it may seem repetitive, but the format is dictated by ADEQ, and we're responsible to address every question they pose. So please take your time and look through that and get us any comments or questions by the end of next week if you're able to. And I will take any questions from the commission at this time.
Commissioners, any questions?
I just got a comment, I guess. I've got a copy of the, as do all the commissioners. I've been looking through it, got about halfway through, and have been very happy with what's been presented, the information on the town's mapping and GIS seems to have made very significant strides, and I haven't got back to the latter pages, but reporting of some of the specifics of your programs, you know, where you mentioned the number of cases with maybe the number of deficiencies and that kind of stuff is something that I think ADEQ will look favorably at. So far, my thoughts, John, are it's looking like you guys did a good job on this year's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Hawkinson. Yes, our staff, particularly Scott Bennett, has been diligent in tracking those, as has our stormwater inspector, Jane Hutchins. So due to their efforts, we don't have to dig very deeply to find these numbers. And that's all part of just trying to be more efficient and effective for the citizen. So we appreciate your review so far, Richard, and please continue to do so.
John, are you saying, so I'm looking at the current screen right now. So notice a violation. Okay. There were four. You said you had five. Is that five complaints throughout the year?
Correct. So we had five citizenry complaints. Of those five, only four warranted an enforcement issue. I don't recall what the fifth one was. Either we were unable to determine it was an issue or it was not regulated by the town. We get some calls from the fringes of the town boundaries, or it's not our property. So, we're not able to enforce everything, but
yeah,
very few.
I'm impressed that there's only five complaints. I mean, that says a lot to have that throughout a reporting period. So great work, guys.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners or comments? Hearing none, I'd like to move on to agenda item number 8, discussion of cancellation of the October 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission field trip. Mr. Spiker.
Yep. Thank you, Chair Kafari. This gave me some heartburn coming up with this. As Amy Ramsey alluded to, COVID-19 requirements have really restricted our ability to meet publicly with folks. We tried to look at getting multiple buses to host this field trip this fall, but some of the access points to the locations we wanted to go to don't exactly lend themselves to multiple large vehicles. In addition to that, we've got two new stormwater commissioners coming on board in the new calendar year. And as we talked about, Councilmember Rodman will be leaving us this November. So we'll have a new council liaison joining us as well. We're looking at putting up a new field trip as we normally do in the spring of 2021, and would have most likely been visiting the same exact spots as we would have this fall. So again, as Amy Ramsey alluded to, we're hoping early next calendar year in the spring, the COVID restrictions ease and we can bring in all these new faces and educate everybody at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. I don't think we need to take a vote on that, but yes, I agree with canceling the October field trip for reasons you mentioned. Let's move on to agenda item number 9, discussion of the Carmack Wash remapping. Mr. Spiker.
Again, I'd like to turn this over to our stormwater engineer and have Justin explain this agenda item. Justin, go ahead.
Commissioner Kafari, commissioners, yes, this is Justin Turner. The Carmack Wash is a water course that runs close to the 680 our offices. It's just about a block away, and it runs from Linda Vista all the way to the CDO wash near Costco, near the railroad bridge, and at the uppermost portion of it is in the town, and was developed from residentially in the late 50s, 1960s, and all pre-NFIP homes. And the wash was studied originally in 2017, just shortly after I came on board, and it studied the entire length of the water course, and we reviewed the report. It said, "Would you mind focusing a little more on the tributary washes in the upper watershed in our town, especially in these older neighborhoods?" And the flood control district agreed. They gracefully said, "Yes, I can see your problems. Where our efforts were spread too wide. We looked at roughly 4 miles of water course and really you just need to look at something that's about a half a mile long and a little more focused. And plus, our area is not riverine. It's not a wash or a water course in a defined channel. It's just waters helter-skelter. It's distributary. And they agreed to do a two-dimensional modeling effort. And that effort is now finished. It was in the report. I'm telling you it's going to be submitted later this month. Well, this afternoon it arrived. And so there are new floodplain maps described and that show where the flood-prone properties are, not only the area of inundation, but will also tell us what the flow rates are within the main channel and all the tributaries as well. It also tells us the flow depth. So if we have new building permit applications come in, we can identify quickly the flood hazard potential for those properties, and then to make recommendations as to how high to put the finished floors or their structures if need be. So we have a valuable floodplain management tool available to us. And as I say, it is now completed. A digital copy of the report will be in the next week or so will be available on the Pima County Regional Flood Control District's website. They have a page where dedicated to reports, floodplain mapping reports principally, and interested folks can take a look at the report and the results and the maps and so forth there in the short term. In the long term, we'll be reaching out to affected neighborhoods with some brochures as an outreach endeavor, but that work will take some time to complete. But in the meantime, the general public will be directed towards the district's webpage. Anyway, we're quite pleased with the results of the study, the accuracy of the flooding maps, the detailed of it, and it was a collaborative effort between the district and the town and I think we're very pleased with the outcome.
All right, thank you, Mr. Turner. Any comments or questions from the commission? Hearing none, moving on to agenda item number 10, discussion of Highland Wash Flood Mitigation Project. Mr. Spiker, Mr. Turner.
Yes, exactly. I'll turn that right back over to Justin again.
Commissioners, yes, this is Justin Turner again. The Pima County Regional Flood Control District recently completed, well, actually it was in last year, December of 2019, completed the Highland Wash floodplain mapping study. And in addition to that, they also prepared a design concept report and 65% construction drawings for a new levee and channelization project through the Highland Mobile Home Park. Anyway, the report is for the Highland Wash project will be on the Flood Control District's webpage this coming week. Again, you can take a look at it there. One of the results of the study shows there's 141 homes in the mobile home park that are flood prone, and that even in the 10-year event, there's probably 40 or so homes in the floodplain. So we have a floodplain management tool that we use when homeowners asked to bring in a replacement home. Many of the older mobile homes were installed in the 1960s and 70s. And it's the new owners want to modernize. Well, of course, we're obligated to follow the flood insurance regulations and have the lowest structural member of these mobile homes set at least 1 foot above the base flood elevation. And so we now have a tool to use to evaluate their proposals and to make recommendations to the homeowners and their installer to the proper elevation. And it eliminates the need for the individual homeowner to hire a civil engineer to make this determination. So I think this is a tremendous help, not only for the town, but for the homeowners as well. And this is another success story, a collaborative effort between the flood control district and the town, and we're very pleased with the outcome. Well, the report also talks about our recent grant application with the Arizona Department of Emergency Management, DEMA. And we reported on previous commission meetings that we had embarked on a request for grant monies to improve Highland Wash and the levee and so forth. We were told this last spring that the application was, what were their words, John? It was incomplete. It did not meet some of their criteria, and we were given a debriefing effort, and we're currently in the process of submitting a new notice of intent. It will be turned in tomorrow to DEMA, and then we'll go through this effort again. Hopefully, we'll get a favorable response sometime this spring as to whether or not we were successful in getting grant monies. But we're actively working on that notice of intent, and then shortly afterwards we'll begin our application process in earnest to redo and to refocus our efforts.
Question, though.
That's it.
Justin, is any effort being made to incorporate any of the plans for that new housing development that's upstream of the mobile home park? And what their drainage design and what they'll have to do in that area into this area that you're working on more specifically for the mobile home park area?
To answer your question, no. The report that it was prepared by the flood control district was for existing conditions. And of course, the Naraha Trails subdivision has not yet been constructed. But in reviewing the proposed development for Naraha Trails, it currently appears as if they're staying out of the floodplain. They have minimal encroachment, if any. There should not be any rise in flow depth and velocity, particularly at the downstream interface with the Highlands Mobile Home Park. So there is no impact. The development also has stormwater detention, so there shouldn't be any increase in flood peak from their development. So our current effort doesn't identify or quantify the effects of this development, but on the same hand, the new development shouldn't have any impact whatsoever, at least if we follow our own regulations and do our due diligence in reviewing the submissions. Again, there should not be any adverse impact caused by the Naraha Trails project. And we can report on that. I believe constituent Jim Coffey asked for reporting on Naraha Trails at our upcoming meetings, and we'll We've taken that in under advisement and most likely put it on November's agenda. We can speak more to that point at that time.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I did want to, this is John Spiker, I did want to mention here, there seems to be a reoccurring theme through today's meeting, the collaboration between the flood control district at Pima County and the town. We started off with Amy and mentioning some of the maintenance activities the flood control district has provided the town. And then we've just gone through a couple of watershed and floodplain studies that the county has commissioned on our behalf. This existed well before I got here and continues in a very positive light. And I just would like to recognize the county's efforts toward the town and offer appreciation for those folks. As a smaller entity that doesn't have a lot of resources, specifically financially, we have to lean on the county quite a bit, and they have been more than supportive to our needs. So I really want to recognize their efforts as a continuing theme throughout our meeting today.
All right, any further questions or comments from the commissioners?
One last comment to John's final comment there. I'll say, take it back a little ways further. I feel like ever since the town has gotten involved with their stormwater program in about 2004, when it officially kind of got set up and things moving on, that there's always been very good cooperation with the flood district and the town in projects and collaboration to get things done. So you can add a few years to your comment, John.
Agreed, Commissioner Hawkinson. Thank you.
And just no small regard to what Rich, you did during your tenure here at the town. You were instrumental in bringing the district in to help solve our problems. So again, thank you for your previous efforts and current efforts as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all. Moving on to agenda item number 11, discussion and possible action regarding the cancellation of the October 15th, 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission regular session meeting. Do we have a motion to, well, do we feel, staff, do we feel like we need to have a October meeting?
This is John Spiker. I don't believe we do, Chair Kafari. Again, we have not seen any monsoon rains of substance this year. We are not forecasted to see any in the forecast right now. So I believe at this time we don't have anything of substance to present next month.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion from a commissioner to cancel the meeting?
So moved.
Second it.
Yurina, would you like to do a roll call vote, or do we need to? We'll give her. You were on mute, Yurina. I'm not sure what you said.
There we go.
Yeah. Sorry, there's traffic around me. Yes, let's do a roll call vote. Joan Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Aye.
Chair Kufari?
Aye.
Okay.
Motion passes.
Let the record show there are 4 yeses and 0 noes to cancel that meeting.
All right. Let us move on. Future agenda items. I think we had some items that John has been taking notes on in regards to the Naranja Trails. I don't have anything that I that need to bring up, so leave it up to you guys.
If there's no other items, I move we adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we are adjourned.
Bye. Good seeing you guys.
Thank you all.